Jaya Ganatha Shiva Sivo Bhakta Vrindika Jaya Shishri Radhakrishnato Bhagavata Sayam Kunmati Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Vrindavanam Ki Jaya Vachiradam Ki Jaya Jagannatha Swami Ki Jaya Yamunamai Ki Jaya Shrimati Vilasi Devi Ki Jaya Samveda Bhakta Vrindika Jaya Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bhakta. All glories, he is humble devotees. All glories, he is humble devotees. All glories, he is humble devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. So before reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, I want to speak a little bit about Kachiyani Vrat, which is observed today. Actually observed for a whole month. So, Om Gana, Timiranda Shagavan Shana Shalakaya Chakshur and Medikam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, Kachiyani is an expansion of the goddess Durga. For those of you who don't know, there are 33 million demigods. These demigods are actually servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada describes these demigods like the cabinet of the president or the cabinet of the prime minister of whatever country you're in. So these demigods, they're in charge of various aspects of the material creation. There's a demigod in charge of rain, there's a demigod in charge of breathing in the body, there's a demigod in charge of the water, Varuna, there's a demigod in charge of the fire, and there's over 33 million of them. And as Krishna says in the Gita, those who are stupid, he says, actually he says less intelligent, or whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, they worship the demigods. And of course they worship the demigods for some material purpose, and Srila Prabhupada describes that that worship is compared to bribing a government servant. Of course, in India, you can do this quite easily. But in America, you don't go and bribe the government service. And that's described as a vidhi purvakam in the Bhagavad Gita, which means it's the wrong process of vidhi purvakam. It means it's the process of ignorance, of vidhi purvakam, or of vidhi purvakam, which means not the process that's proper. So, anyway, so we find in Krishna's pastimes and in other cases, there are many devotees who worship the demigods, but not for material purposes. They worship the demigods to attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, understanding that some of the demigods are pure devotees of the Lord. For example, Durga is a pure devotee of the Lord. She's called sometimes Vaishnavi, and Shiva is a pure devotee of the Lord. So any of these demigods, you can actually worship to become pure devotees or to associate with Krishna. So the system in India is that the young girls, they're very much concerned with finding a good husband. Oh, hey, welcome back. So the system in India is the young girls are very much concerned with finding a good husband. I was just listening to a lecture Srila Prabhupada gave. Yesterday I was listening to a lecture. And Srila Prabhupada was describing that generally there's more girls born than men. Of course, it's not the case nowadays in India. But anyway, generally there are more girls born than men. And Prabhupada said, and that's why the Kshatriyas sometimes they would have several wives so to make sure that every lady had a husband, because many men decided to either remain brahmacharis or take sannyas, or in other words, not enter into the marriage ceremony. So therefore, there was polygamy at that particular time. Of course, Prabhupada said polygamy is not allowed in our movement. He said in regard to one devotee who wanted to have more than one wife, Prabhupada basically our business is to reduce this sex life, and your business is to increase the sex life, so therefore you can't come by the temple anymore. It's probably very strict in that regard. So nowadays, of course, in India, there's more men being born than women, but the reason for that is basically selective abortion, which is horrendous. In other words, they determined whether the fetus is a boy or a girl, depending on utilizing ultrasound, and then they have an abortion, and now there's competition, so many men can't find a wife. But in those days, the girls, they really wanted to find good husbands, and it was hard to find a good husband, so they would have this ceremony called the Kachyani Vrat. Vrat means like a vow, and Kachyani is referring to Durga, one of the demigoddesses. So they would do this for 1 month. And this vrat, or vow, was quite an austere vow. It entailed eating something called avisha only. Avisha means like unspiced dal, and you would only be eating it once a day. And perhaps the most austere part of the vow is that the girls would have to bathe in the river in winter. And of course, this Kachyani Vrat begins today, and today in India is the beginning of winter season. And it can get quite cold in India. Those of you who have stayed in Braj during the winter season know that it can get to 0 centigrade or 32 degrees Fahrenheit, which is freezing. You actually get frost. So they would bathe for the whole month, just eating very, very light food. No oil, no ghee, nothing heavy. And generally it was quite an austerity. And at the end of the month, of course, they would have this avavrita bath. Avavrita bath is a bath you take after doing an austerity that signifies the austerity is over, and that you're going to get the blessings of whoever you've been worshiping during that particular time. So, the reason I'm mentioning this is not that I'm encouraging all you young girls, and I don't see any young girls. Anyways, I'm not encouraging the young girls who are watching on the internet to do this to find husbands. Although, I had one disciple who did this, and she did get a husband right afterwards. So, just be careful how many husbands you ask for. Don't be like Draupadi, too enthusiastic in her previous life. Asking 5 times to Lord Shiva, and she got 5 husbands. So as far as, the reason I'm telling this story is that it relates to the gopis. So the gopis of Vrindavan, they actually wanted to have Krishna as their husband. And there's many stories that are told in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that illustrate this particular point. How all the gopis wanted to have Krishna's husband as their husband. For example, you have the story of when Lord Rama kidnapped all the coward boys and the calves in order to play a trick on Krishna. And, you know, externally, the story shows how Lord Rama was subservient to Krishna, and Krishna was able to fool him by manifesting all the different Vishnu forms. So at least that's one part of the story. But really, the reason that Krishna arranged this particular pastime to take place was that he could actually become all the coward boys. And guess what? During that particular year, when Krishna was all the coward boys, it was Vishnu form or Krishna form, the coward boys were betrothed to all the gopis in Vrindavan. And so in this way, Krishna actually married, betrothed all the girls in Vrindavan. And therefore, when, of course, it's not that the 5-year-old boys or 6-year-old boys lived with those girls at that particular point, but that's betrothal. And the reason for that betrothal is that later on, when the girls would reach puberty, they would not think of anyone else. That's why the early betrothal was there. They would not think of anyone else but the person they were betrothed to as their husband. It's not that they would be thinking when they reach puberty, oh, is that the man? Is that the man? And then they would dress up in so many seductive ways to try to draw different men or candidates closer to them. So this actually is a very, very important part of chastity. I'm not advocating child marriage. Of course, that's illegal. But at least some arrangements so that people's minds could be peaceful. Otherwise, if you look at the high schools, I was just reading an article the other day that in one particular school district in a particular state of America, they made it a child abuse that if a boy and a girl have some relationship, you know, they actually said that if a boy or a girl reports it to the teacher has to report it to the child abuse people, and for their whole lives they're scarred with this particular label that they're a child abuser because, you know, they had some relationship before they were under 18. So, but what is discovered is 40-50% of the kids are having relationships. So that if they actually enforce this particular rule, you have 40-50% of the children, both boys and girls, listed as sexual offenders for the rest of their lives. I mean, anyway, the teachers don't follow this rule, but this was actually a rule that was instituted in some school district of 40,000 students who are in this particular school district. So we find ourselves in the modern day and world with boys and girls underage having so many relationships, illicit relationships, and sometimes the children are coming to the teachers and saying, my dear teacher, you know, I'm pregnant, should I get an abortion, whatever. This is very, very common nowadays. So that is the reason for the early betrothal. The man and or the boys and girls wouldn't live with each other, but at least their minds would be peaceful, not trading boyfriends in the week, you know, trading, you know, sometimes the girls would trade each other and their boyfriends, they would say, you can take my boyfriend, I'll take your boyfriend. And just like crazy stuff goes on. So anyway, going ahead with this particular story, is that the gopis, they really wanted to have Krishna as their husband. And so in order to have Krishna as their husband, they started to perform this Kachiyani Vrat. That means every day they were bathing in the river. And in those days, the girls would bathe completely naked in the river. There's a particular place where they would bathe. None of the men were allowed near that place. And it was quite freezing. And they would have different deities of Durga they would make from the sand on the banks of the river. And they would pray, my dear Durga, please allow the son of Nanda Maharaj to become my husband. All right, so whole month they're performing this particular ceremony. And then at the end of the month, that's from Purnima to Purnima. Purnima, that means full moon to full moon. At the end of the month, they did their Amrata bath. So all the gopis were doing that. And who appeared? But Krishna, who was sitting on a tree limb, and he had stolen their clothes, so they couldn't get their clothes. So they looked for their clothes, and they were in the river, and they looked for their clothes, and they couldn't find their clothes, and finally they saw Krishna up in the tree, and Krishna said that you should come out of the river one by one and get your clothes, and they were very upset. Initially, they refused to come out of the river. They were actually shivering from the cold, and they didn't want to come out because they were just very chaste. So Krishna said, you have to come out of the river, and when they came out of the river to get their clothes, because they couldn't stay in the river because of the cold, then Krishna advised them that don't cover any part of your body, because still they were trying to maintain their modesty or their chastity, covering their private parts. Don't cover any part of your body because you've committed a great offense against the by bathing naked against the god of the water, Varuna. And you should just come with your palms up like this and pray and offer obeisances. And so they came out like that, and it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna played with them like dolls. You know, so we have in the modern world the perverted reflection of this, where there's so many cases of sexual abuse that are being noted in the news nowadays. It's actually quite common. You hear about different leaders in different news sites, or reporters, or even the president of the United States, I hate to mention, who are actually sexual abusers. In other words, they take advantage, or even one of the past presidents of the United States who, I won't mention what he did, anyway, whatever, he touched women inappropriately, even though he's like 90-something years old. So this is going on. So that's a perverted reflection. But in the spiritual world, you have something that appears to be very similar. Krishna playing with the girls and teasing them and mocking them and destroying their modesty. So you see, all these things that we have here in this material world come from the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, they're in their original, pure, pristine state. So anyway, so the girls came out and Krishna saw them without their clothes, and that indicates that Krishna was married to them at that particular point, because only the husband could see the wife in that particular state. And that's the Kachiyavi Vrat, which starts today and ends next month. So those of you who want to get married, any of the girls here, any volunteers who want to get married, just start it today. And you go bathing in the 7 Mile Creek here, or the Eno River, if you like. You may get arrested too. Okay, so now we'll go on to Srimad Bhagavatam. So is it text 10 or text 11 is the next text?
11.
Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 24, text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ayo Asav Asmin Mahakalpe Tanayaha Sa Vivasvataha Shadadeva Viti Kyato Manut Manutve Harinar Pitaha Yosavasmin Mahakalpe Anayasa Vivasvataha Shradadeva Iti Kyato Manutve Harinarpitaha Yosavasmin Mahakalpe Anayasa Vivasvataha Shradadeva Iti Kyato Manutve haninarpitaha Yosavasmin mahakalpe Taniyasa vivasvataha Suradeva iti kyapto Manutve saninarpitaha. Ladies. Yaha, one who,
Asau,
he the supreme person, Asmin, in this, Mahakalpe, great millennium, Taniyaha,
son,
Saha,
he,
Vivasvataha, of the sun god, Shuddhadevaha, by the name Shuddhadeva, iti, thus, kyataha, celebrated, manutve,
in the position of Manu,
harina, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, arpitaha, was situated. Translation, in this, the present millennium, King Satyavrata later became the son of Vivaswan, the king of the sun planet, and was known as Shuddhadeva. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was given the post of Manu. So there's no purport here, so we're going to start reading about the story of Noah's Ark. Even though it's not mentioned that it's Noah here. But the story in the Bible is actually coming from this particular story of Shuddhadev Manu.
It's Hebrew for Satyavrata.
What?
It's Hebrew for Satyavrata.
Noah?
Hebrew version of Satyavrata.
Oh, Hebrew version, yeah, Satyavrata. Of Noah. So anyway, so you find many, many similar stories actually in the Bible. Not only this story, Noah's Ark, you actually find the story of like when Krishna, for example, when Krishna appeared on this planet, before he appeared, you had Kamsa killing all the kids, the newborn kids. And also when you have Jesus Christ appearing, you have the killing of all the newborn kids. And also when you have, what's the story in there in the Bible?
Adam and Eve.
No, that's not the story.
Krishna not wanting.
No, the Bible story. The Bible story.
But in relationship to that, even like the whole idea of not worshipping a golden calf, a false god.
Yeah, no, but there's actually the story of
Jonah and the whale.
No, not Jonah and the whale. I'm thinking of the story of Moses. You know, Moses, when the Jews were actually in Egypt, and they were kept in slavery, then it was predicted that actually one of the Jews would be born, and he would be the savior of all the Jews, and then the king, not the king, the Pharaoh, he actually ordered all the newborn kids of the Jews to be killed. And therefore, you have Moses that was put on a little reed boat, and he floated down the river, and he was adopted by the Pharaoh's family, anyway. So you find very, very similar stories throughout different religious literatures, although the Vedic literatures are the origin of all these stories. So, let's continue reading, since there's no purport to this text. Text 12. Ekada krita malayam kurvato No, we just do this by myself. Kurvato jala tarpanam tashanjal yudake and tashanjal yudake kachich chaparikabya padyata. One day, while King Satyavrata was performing austerities by offering water on the bank of the river Pritomala, a small fish appeared in the water in his palms. Guess who that small fish was? Satyavratanjali katham sahato yena bharata utsasarja nadi toye shaparim dravadeshvaraha. Satyavrata, the king of Dravida Desha, threw the fish into the water of the river along with the water in his palm. O King Parikshit, descendant of Bharata. Text 14. Tam maha sati karundam maha karundi kaunripam ayadopyo gyati gadipyo dinamam dinavatsalaha. Vatsala, sorry. Katam visrichyase rajan vitam asmin sarijyalai. With an appealing voice, the poor, small fish said to King Satyavrata, who was very merciful, "My dear king, protector of the poor, why are you throwing me in the water of the river where there are other aquatics who can kill me? I am very much afraid of them." So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Matsya Purana, it is said, Ananta Shaktir Bhagavan Matsya Rupi Janardanaha Kridartam Yachyamma Sa Swayam Satya Vratam Nipam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead possesses unlimited potency. Nonetheless, in His pastime in the form of a fish, He begged protection from King Satyavrata. So we're going to speak a little bit about this. So, Om Gana Tirunanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chachur Miditam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So it may be amazing to some of us that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is now appearing as a fish, and also amazing that he appears to be afraid, and also amazing that he's begging something from his devotee. So let's try to unpack this. So, first of all, we understand that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in any of the species of life, and actually he does appear in all the species of life, actually this is Srila Prabhupada's description, every single species of life, 8,400,000 species of life, Krishna appears in. And not only 8,400,000 species of life, but Krishna appears in species that aren't even species. In other words, he combines, he mixes and matches. Can you think of an example of that? What? Lord Shingadev, that's a mix and match. So he mixes, so not only 8,400,000 species, but you know, probably a lot more when you're mixing and matching and during permutations of different species. So when he appears like that, he is not covered by the body in which he appears. Actually, his body is the original body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is Satchidananda Vigraha. That means a body of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. When we are put into different species of life, we are conditioned by those bodies. And that's one of the reasons for varnashram. You may be a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if you're in a kshatriya body, that's going to be your inclination, just like Arjuna. He was in a kshatriya, that means administration or protecting. Kshatriya doesn't mean fighting, but someone who likes to do engage in chivalrous activities, competition, stuff like that. So many people think that kshatriya means one who likes to fight. It means one who likes the competition, so he's challenged, he likes to fight. But he doesn't just like to fight for the sake of fighting. He's not going around beating up all of his friends in school. I remember there was one young boy in Miami, you may remember. He used to beat up all the other young kids, and his parents were saying, well, he's a Kshatriya. No, he's a shooter. A Kshatriya, he likes to challenge. It's chivalry. It's the mode of passion. Mode of ignorance means you like to hurt someone. That's the mode of ignorance. So, anyway, so according to the body that we get certain propensities. Yeah, if we like to study, that's coming from the body. Both the gross body and the subtle body. Of course, you get the gross body because your subtle body, that means your body of desires, your lingam sarira, has certain desires. Whatever body you get in this world, it's because you wanted it. You ordered it. Whatever car, just like I see people driving around, the stupidest looking cars imaginable. I mean, really, a stupid car is like this Mini. You ever heard of that before? No. Anyway, there's a car called the Mini. Anyway, so it's so stupid. It doesn't even have good mileage. And the reason is, that's their desire. They pick the damn thing. So we get a particular type of body because we pick the damn thing. I can say damn thing because that's what it is. It's ignorance. And we had a certain amount of money to pay for it. Money means, in this particular context, it means a certain amount of karma, either good karma or bad karma. I mean, the typical example is, you know, if you like to eat a lot and you have good karma, you get to be, let's say, someone who's extremely rich and you can go to Whole Foods anytime you want and buy whatever you want. And if you're don't have money, then you just have to go to the soup kitchen and you eat a lot. Anyway, have even less good karma, let's talk about karma right now, then you take birth in the pig family, just like we were in Vrindavan. And the pigs are quite interested in eating, but they're eating things that are unmentionable to us. I mean, these really big pigs with all the children and everything like that. So anyway, so two things determine what type of body you have, which is your karma and your desire. Krishna also says in the Gita in the 8th chapter, yam yam bhavi smaran bhavam yasutiyanti kalevram tam tam ibaiti kantiyasudha tadbhava bhavata. Whatever you're thinking of the time of death, that determines what type of body you're going to have according to your karma too. So the body actually controls our consciousness. It just controls it. Just like when you get really tired, you may get grumpy. I mean, you may be a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chanting Hare Krishna and ecstasy, but when you get tired, you're grumpy, you don't want to see anyone. I mean, just like the other night, I'm not saying I'm a great devotee, but just like the other night, I came back from traveling, and devotees were cleaning my house, and they just said, finish and get the hell out of here right away. Because I was tired. So the body actually shapes the consciousness. So, again, referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he didn't have that problem. It's not that Krishna is controlled by hunger and thirst. I was listening to a class, actually, Prabhupada said that if you're hungry, you can't be happy. Prabhupada had all these interesting classes and things. He says, you know, if someone has hunger, he can't think of anything else. He's just like, can't be happy, so you have to satisfy your hunger. Of course, Prabhupada there was referring to, you know, the basic needs of a human being, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur does in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita. So, you know, we're actually controlled by these bodily things. You know, there's pain, pleasure, desires, that are all coming from actually just chemistry. Like we have a psychiatrist here, and she knows if she alters the chemistry in the body, you can turn a depressed person into an ecstatic person, right? Or vice versa. So, the miracle of modern chemistry. So anyway, the Krishna is not controlled. His body is Ashnavi Ram. Ashnavi Ram basically means no veins. Just like you look at, you know, my body, especially as you get older, you see all the veins, isn't it? The skin becomes translucent. And not transparent. Transparent would mean that you would be like the visible man or visible woman we had when we were young. So Krishna has no veins. And there's no hormones going around in his body. And there's no white blood corpuscles or red blood corpuscles or what else is there? I mean, it's a body made of spiritual eternity, bliss, and knowledge, such as Ananda Vigraha, as described in the Yasa Upanishad. Brahma Samhita. Sachinanda Vigraha, Nadi Radhu Govinda Sarvakarana Karna. And Krishna is able to make his body, the same body, not different body, look differently according to his different moods or according to his different pastimes. And he's able to do all this simultaneously with being in the spiritual world and exhibiting all his Vishnu forms, having all of his relationships with all the Lakshmis in the spiritual world, having his relationship with all the gopis, with all the coward boys, in unlimited places and unlimited times and circumstances. That's Krishna. That's what a spiritual body is. So when Krishna appears as a fish, that fish is the same personality, the same body, the same non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Advaita. Advaita chuta nadi rananta rupam ajam purana purusham navayovanam cha. So there's actually an impersonal or mayavadi or improper understanding of the incarnations of God that are depicted in Tirumala. As you're climbing the hill to Tirumala, Tirumala is the place where Balaji is, you'll see the various incarnations of God, beginning with Matsya, and then Kurma, etc., etc., going all the way up to Krishna. And so the way that they explain that is that the Supreme Personality of God is undergoing evolution. Evolving. You know, first he's the Brahman appears as a fish, and then the Brahman evolves a little bit, you know, a tortoise, and then you've got all these other incarnations, you know, like half man, half lion, and finally you get to human form, and then you finally get to Krishna. So that's actually, I guess it would be Mayavad philosophy, that is, Brahman is actually evolving. Which is stupid, because Brahman doesn't evolve, Brahman doesn't change. Brahman is not an illusion, like we were talking about different varieties of improper philosophy yesterday, like Vivarta means illusion. Brahman is never an illusion, and Parinam means transformation. Brahman never becomes transformed, and Brahman is never an illusion. And of course, the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme aspect of Brahman is Krishna. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaneti, Shabdite. And so, Krishna certainly never becomes transformed. Paramatma never becomes transformed. And the impersonal Brahman doesn't become transformed. But the transformation that occurs is the Shakti Parinam. We're advocates of Shakti Parinam Bhava. The Supreme Lord's energies become transformed. Like this material energy, for example, the time of the before the creation of the material world, there's the pradana, which is the unmanifested state of the material energy. It's something like the clay or the play-doh that you get in a little container. And then that pradana becomes transformed by Aisaikshita, the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which implants the living entities within the material creation, and then this pradana becomes transformed and manifests all the different varieties that we see here in this world. So this world is actually a transformation of Krishna's energies. And because it's a transformation, it's temporary. And because it's temporary, it's considered, according to the Bhagavad Gita, unreal in a real in a permanent or spiritual sense. Nasato vijite bhavo na bhavo vijite sata ubiha api drishto antas 20s tatvadarshami. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us that the sages say that those things are temporary, are unreal. unreal in the sense that they have no continued existence. They're not tattva. Tattva means something that can, that exists, that is a truth. And actually the word tattva, as we described yesterday, means something that is, in other words, it exists. So the material energy is continually, endlessly mutable. That's another description of the Bhagavad Gita. Mutable means it keeps changing. So, but the spiritual energy is not changing, but the spiritual energy can manifest, like Krishna can manifest himself in a variety of ways. So what we're seeing here with this fish incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord, the same Lord that dances in Vrindavan, but just exhibiting a certain aspect of himself. That's all. It's not a different God. But those who are of a certain mood in devotional service worship particular incarnations of the Lord because that's their attraction. Everyone has an individual attraction. Some people worship Lord Ram, like is that story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, how some of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, like Murari Gupta, they were worshippers of Lord Ram, and they basically did not want to concentrate on Krishna. Of course, they also respected Krishna, because that was their bhav, that was their emotional attachment. So we find some people are very attached to the Matsya avatar, Korma avatar, that means the tortoise incarnation, and even there's a temple in India called Korma Kshetra, where there's devotees of Lord Korma. They just reside there and they worship Lord in the tortoise incarnation. And there's devotees in South India, the many devotees or many temples dedicated to the Nishina avatar, like Mangal Giri, Sinacharam, which we've all gone to. So, because they're all the Supreme Personality of God, and they're all the Supreme Personality. Anyway, so there's a little introduction to this particular pastime of the Supreme Personality of God, and understanding we're talking about the same God, just exhibiting his enjoyable activities in relationship with his devotees, and Pritchadaya Sadanam, Vidushaya Shadushkatam, saving the devotees, protecting the devotees, annihilating the miscreants, and establishing religious principles. Thank you very much. All glory is due.